Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Go for it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Kind of back on the Fan, 877-337-6666, talking Yankees, talking Mets, talking mulch. Can't wait to get that mulch and get going. I already got Eric and Ronkonkoma but tell me, I'll bring you a hand truck. There's no way you're going to be lifting. No, I'm not going to lift them all at once. I lift one bag of mulch. How heavy could it be? I open it up. I pour it out. I go get the next one. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I guess if you have a hand truck, which I do, I got one at my father's house somewhere. You know, my mom has it. You can go borrow that, all right, wheel them out. Like, it's not a big deal. Look, if these guys could do it, I could do it. Right? Come on, yo. The hardest part is going to get the stuff, which I'm not even doing, just have them deliver it. All right, $80, fine. Still ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. I'm going to be a real homeowner this weekend. I'm not going to mow the grass. I'm not going to go that far. But I'm going to get up on a Saturday morning, hearing the chirping birds, walk downstairs, kiss my wife and my daughter goodbye as I go outside to do yard work for the day. Put that mulch out, maybe pop open a beer or so. I don't know, I really don't drink that much, but I feel like it's part of it. Maybe even fire up the grill, throw some burgers on there. Cheers to me, the American homeowner, doing yard work. And I'm going to see if it's for me. And there's a good chance it's not. This may be a one and done. But I'm looking forward to the challenge. Yankees lose to the Orioles. They drop 2 out of 3. A disappointing series loss, especially with the way that the game went on. So it's technically now Friday. The way the game went on Wednesday night. Happy Friday, by the way. Blowing the 5-1 lead in the 7th inning. Mets get a win. They salvage the final game of the 3-game set in Chicago. They'll move on to Colorado. Mets pound the Cubs 10-1, but still have issues with their roster. Sanchez out. Okay, they're starting to trim the fat a little bit. Tomas Nito is back. Vogel back. Get him out of here. Let's see Mark Vientos play. Gary is calling from North Salem. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
How are you, Gary?
Good. What's going on? Yeah, I'll be doing the same thing this weekend. Yard work, drinking beer, listening to music, barbecuing.
There we go. Cheers. Yes. I love it. Yeah. Cheers.
So with the mulch, before I get to the Mets, I work for a school district, right? So I used to work with the grounds department, so we used to do a lot of mulching at the schools. And, we get truckloads of that stuff. And, you get a fresh load, it's hot, it's steamy, doing it in the summertime, miserable. But, right, there's nothing to it. Just spread it, with a regular rake or an iron rake. That's all you got to do. Spread it, level it, and you're good to go. But let me ask you this. The way you're spreading it, do you have to do a lot of weed whacking or blowing the leaves in the fall, like around the house?
Dude, come on. Do you think I weed whack or blow the leaves? I have no idea. So
I'm a homeowner too, and I'm a first-time homeowner for about 7 years. I do everything, man. The grass.
Yeah,
leaves,
God bless you. No, I'm paying the guy to do the grass and do the spring cleanup, the fall cleanup, and he offered to do it. He offered to. There's two like beds. There's two beds where the plants should be, but my wife didn't like the plants, so she took them out. But now it's just soil that grows weeds. So I got to put the black tarp down to stop the weeds, and I got to put something over it, either rock or mulch. I suggested rocks. My wife said mulch, so you know who won that battle. So that's why I'd be dealing with the mulch.
Yeah. I would go with the rocks because rocks are good. It sucks up water,
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it. You put the rocks down once and you're done. No, but of course, my wife wants the mulch. So, I mean.
Because we would spread the mulch, but in the summertime, you got to weed whack the beds where the weeds are. And you're just flying, shooting the mulch all over the joint. And, and in the fall, you're just blowing, where the leaves are, you're blowing the beds. You're blowing half the mulch out of the beds, along with the leaves. And then you just got to remulch it again every year. So I find it just to be a little bit of a waste of money, unless you got it, you could do a little bit around the house.
No, it's all a waste of money. It's all a waste of money. I don't even want to do it.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather the weeds grow. I don't care. I don't even sit outside. I'm sitting inside watching these games or downstairs watching, you know, sitting in the AC. You think I'm sitting outside doing it? But my wife says I'm not sitting outside and looking at this stuff again. Yeah. And she's right. Like, it does, when the weeds start growing in, it does look awful. So you got to do something about it. So I had two choices. Right. One, pay the guy $2,200 or whatever it was. Two, figure out a way to get it done myself and spend that money elsewhere, like on a Knicks, Knicks or Rangers playoff game.
I do it all. I weed whack it, bushes, you know. So
and you enjoy it?
I don't mind it for now. I don't mind it for now. I'm 40, so I can still do it. I don't mind it for now. Plus, I save the money on the landscaper.
Right?
You know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Use that money elsewhere. So, anyway, what else you got, Kerry?
And with the Mets, I mean, they're going to really have to cut Vogelbach for Buck to stop playing this guy at this point. There's nobody in the organization that just steps up and just says, like, come on, man, like, enough's enough. Like, this guy does nothing. Like, even you said last year when he came on the team, after a handful of games, you could tell this guy ain't that good. You know, like, when is somebody going to step up and say, all right, man, enough's enough with this, play this damn kid. Like, if we're going to go down, I want to go down with the kids and the veterans we got. Like,
it's a great question. Great question, Gary. You know, I don't know
Stan,
who.
Vogelbach and Stan and all these washed-up guys that stink. When is somebody going to step up and say, fuck, come on, man. Like, enough with this.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – and thank you for the call, Gary, and I appreciate the tips. I don't know whose decision, of course, it's a collaborative effort. I don't know whose decision it is exactly. The way that I believe it to be is that Epler decides on who's getting called up, what the roster is, and Buck is, he's the one who has the right to put them in the lineup whichever way he sees fit. And I get the idea that he's not the biggest fan of Mark Vientos, but I can't imagine a baseball mind as brilliant as Buck Showalter likes Daniel Vogelbach on his baseball team. He would rather, and again, I'm speaking for him here, and I mean, I'm sure we'll find out when somebody asks him a question, but I have to imagine Buck, if you talk to him off the record, if he would rather have a guy like Tim LeCastro or Daniel Vogelbach, and I know LeCastro's hurt, but just saying a guy who could play some defense and guy who could run a little bit, you know, those guys can help you win games more so than Vogelbach, who just draws walks. Vogelbach is the exact reason why I don't love, like, he's the perfect player to define or be the example for analytics in today's game as opposed to watching a baseball player play baseball. I'm not knocking analytics, but when you tell me, or when those numbers tell me that Daniel Vogelbach is good, there's no way that that could be the case. Ralph is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Sal. Good evening, buddy.
How you been, Ralph?
I'm good. I'm feeling for you, though. You know, you're breaking toilets over there.
Mm.
You know what? I got some free marrow advice for you, okay?
Yeah.
That'll cost you nothing, but listen, key to a successful marriage, there's two lists, right? There's the honey-do list, and there's the honey-don't list.
Mm.
You're on the honey-don't list. Try to stick to that, okay? Yeah. Whatever's on that list, I think you can handle.
No, here's the thing. I made a mistake with the tank. I tightened a screw too much. It broke the porcelain. Then I went and got a new toilet and put that in. So honey-do, honey-don't, honey-did again and did it right. So, I mean, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I can get this stuff done. You know what I'm saying, Ralph? So what? Trial and error.
You redeemed yourself. Good boy. Good boy. Keep it up.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the mulch.
We're waiting for updates. Please, let us know.
How hard could the mulch be? And thanks for the call, Ralph. How hard could it be with the mulch? Come on now. Can't be that difficult. Phil is in Manhattan. Phil, what's on your mind?
Hello, Sal.
Hi, Phil.
I was at the Yankees game tonight.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, I appreciate your commiseration. And
where were you sitting? Were you close enough to hear what kind of dirty words Boone was yelling at the umpire?
No, I was in the upper deck, but I could see him gesticulating.
Yeah,
and looked kind of ridiculous from long distance.
Did you bring binoculars? Remember, people used to do that at games. Do they still do that?
At horse racing they do, but You don't need it for a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people do that before, though. It's not a bad idea. You can look into the dugout if you want. You get an up-close look, but I haven't seen it in a while. I feel like when I was younger, I saw that.
Pass out. I don't want to get such a close look at these players.
Understood, yeah.
And you're making me just thinking about it. It's enough to be in the game.
Yeah, right.
You know, but anyway, the reason why I'm calling is because, by the way, thanks for taking my call. The reason why I'm calling is because, based upon my direct observation of the Yankees, especially tonight, I think one of their major problems is their lack of depth. You know, when they load up the lineup, you know, with bench players, they seem to become, like, automatically just a mediocre team.
Well, I mean, look, their lineup is not as deep as it should be, right? I mean, right now, as far as the lack of health goes, Boone can't wait to get Josh Donaldson back. He might be the only one, but he's excited about getting Josh Donaldson back. Giancarlo Stanton should be coming back at some point. And you put those two guys in there, it looks a lot different. Obviously, Bader being back and Judge being back in there, right, the lineup looks extremely different. But, yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of depth in that lineup. The biggest issue where you say the depth, right? Because you could say, all right, well, guys are injured. They're always going to be coming and going as far as injuries go. But with Oswaldo Cabrera and Anthony Volpe struggling, these are two young players who are supposed to be impactful players, and they're both hitting under 200.
Right. And, you know, so that's all the more reason why I came to the conclusion that I came when the Yankees have their starters in there. They're really an outstanding team, but, you know, and the bench players are good players. Don't get me wrong. I mean, in terms of the ability to play, but you can't really bank on them to be the ones that are going to take it to.
Yeah, but this is what they do, and thank you for the call, Phil. I appreciate you checking in. This is what the Yankees do, where they're going to have a different lineup every day. And I told you, it's probably predetermined. I don't know this for a fact. I mean, maybe they've said it at some point, and I might have missed it, but I guarantee you their lineups are basically set 2 weeks out, or at least, you know, 2-3 series ahead. Looking at the possible pitching matchups and giving guys rest and who's going to play here and lefty-righty, all this stuff. It's all predetermined. Just like they have with the bullpen, they like lanes for certain guys. Well, I'm sure they have the lineup. They can't wait to go out there and apply that data and change up the lineup as if they're reinventing the wheel, and this lineup that they put together based on the data and analytics, oh, wait till it comes together. As opposed to just having good players, put them out there the majority of the time, give a guy a rest when he needs one, and away we go. But that doesn't happen anymore. Or at least not with the Yankees. Lou is calling from Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Lou, how are you?
You motivated me because, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was, even when I was young, I said, damn, I had a tough life, but someday I want to have my own house. So I did buy a house, and I had all kinds of problems when I brought somebody in. They're charging you so much money. So I try to be a handyman and learn certain things. So one day, my wife keep telling me, listen, honey, there is a drip in the basement from the boiler, which was very little. It's like a couple of drips. It was a couple of drip of water that was dripping maybe in 2 days, which you actually could put a container there and stop it. So I said to myself, I'm sick and tired. My wife's telling me this. Okay? So I go to Home Depot, and I figure they can give me an idea what's going on. And there's a pipe underneath that boiler, okay, that has screws on it, right? So I figure maybe let me go to Home Depot. Maybe they can give me an idea. So I bought a plug that I can screw on there, okay? And I hate to say, I hope none of my friends are listening to this, even my bowling guy, because they're going to call me an idiot, like you do. Anyway, I plugged this in. So two days later, I'm watching the Jets. Uh-oh. I'm in the living room, okay? And all of a sudden, boom! And we at the sofa in the living room, and we all jumped up about 5 inches off the sofa because it was an explosion.
Oh,
because,
no.
You know why?
What'd you do?
So you can feel better. So that was a breather from the freaking boiler. You couldn't clobber that up because that was just a breather. But you know how How do you get involved when your wife just don't
stop? Yeah, she says something's leaking, you want to fix it. See, yeah, that's something, Lou, I give you credit for trying to take that on your own and get it done. But that's something to me that's so serious that I would be like, look, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, trying to repair a toilet tank or doing mulch, that's something I can handle.
Listen, I got the same problem with the toilet thing that you're talking about. I tried to tighten because there was a leak there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I broke the entire pipe. And there was my basement got flooded because I was stupid. Okay?
Yeah, same thing, Now, luckily, that didn't happen with the flood for me. But you're right. You try to do it. You tighten it too tight. Boom.
You know what I'm saying? Because these people that take advantage of you, they charge you so much money.
Well, I mean, I don't mind hiring. Sometimes it's hard to find somebody, Lou, right? Especially in like a pinch. Like, hey, I need you to come here like now and do this for a decent price. Most people aren't going to do that. So things that I feel like I could handle on my own, you know what? Let me give it a go and see if I could do it. But I wouldn't mess with electricity. I wouldn't mess with any kind of significant plumbing.
I don't mess with it. You're right. Listen, my living room, even the floor was cracked in the middle. It was, I mean, it was incredible. I'm surprised that the house didn't blow up, okay?
Are you still living? You still living there?
Yeah, I'm still here. And this house, it was an old house that I bought it, okay? Because like you said, you wanna have your own house where I used to live.
No, I get it. I get it.
Okay. But let me go on the Yankees,
yes,
okay? This is the problem that I have with the Yankees, and I know you're gonna be mad at me, okay?
Say that. You don't know if I'm gonna be mad at you or not, but go ahead.
Well, I know you will, okay? I listen to you all the time.
You might be right.
Stay late because I'm retired now. The problem that I have with the Yankees, okay, we got a guy like Aaron Judge, okay? He's in the playoff every single year. He has experience, okay? And you don't help me. I mean, he's 60. How many homers he is? 62, okay? And a caller before said that, why is he batting second? He only had 130 RBI with 62 homers. He should have had at least 160 anyway. Anyway, my other problem is this. So, and you're going to be mad at me because you like it. He's good looking. He's a homie. He's a New Yorker. We want him to be like Jeter. But Volpe leads the league in strikeouts. And he has, believe it or not, it's been about 5 ground the ball to him that should have been calling error.
Yeah, he hasn't been great defensively. He's made some great defensive plays.
I know,
plays.
He's been defensively, he was great. But lately, he hasn't.
No, he's made some, because he's made, the reason why it's frustrating, Lou, is he's made some great plays, and I'm not mad at you. Good call, and thank you for the call, Lou. And stay away from the boiler, will you? Volpe's made some nice plays defensively, but he's also made some mistakes. You're seeing a rookie here. He's taken some lumps at the major league level. Offensively, it's been a little bit of an issue. You've seen some positives. You know, he gets on base, he could steal a base, he could... You trust him at times to give you a quality at bat, hit the ball hard the other way, good bat speed. It just hasn't been nearly enough. I mean, he's now hitting under 200. You mentioned the strikeouts with Volpe. He's been part of the offensive problems for the Yankees as far as their inconsistency goes offensively, because they're relying on him. Now, at the beginning of the year, maybe it was, you know, 9-hitter, weren't relying much on him, but then they started to move him up a little bit with guys being out. Want to have him be more of an impact player. Maybe when they get fully healthy, they can move him back down. Not send him down, but move him back down. But Volpe's been a little bit of an issue. I don't think Judge hitting in the two-hole is a problem. I would not mess with something that is basically working perfectly as far as getting the production from Aaron Judge in the two-hole. You referenced last year. You can't have a better year than that. James is calling from Jericho. What's up, James?
What's going on, Sal? I just wanted to start the call off by saying I'm a veteran and a police officer, and I want to put a shout out to all the veterans and police officers for Memorial Day, or all fallen brothers and sisters.
Well said. I talked about it earlier. You can't say it enough. This Memorial Day weekend, remember, we honor those that lost their lives serving this country.
Awesome, Sal. Thanks. And whenever I start my shift at night, I come in the car, drive around, I put on the fan, and I really do hope that you're on the fan, and I always put in a call whenever I can to talk to you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
So, listen, I have an over-under for you real quick, and I just want to rifle through a couple things real quick. Vogelback being on the Long Island Ducks in about 2 years. and Tommy Pham probably being like a third base coach for the Cardinals or something like that in 2 years. I see two of those things both happen.
100% can see it. I'm a little... Look, Tommy Pham has gotten too much run here. I think he'd be okay if it were a lesser role, but because Canna hasn't done anything and nobody else has, they're trying to get these guys in. They're trying to get somebody going, but they keep using them all, and Pham has a hard hit rate, so they're excited about that. But yeah, and as far as Vogelbach, I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of the big leagues in less than 2 years. And maybe he will be. Hey, let's trade him right now. Vogelbach for Murphy, you know, for the Ducks.
I'll take him back. Murphy killed us when he left us. The other thing is, does this net organization, maybe it's me, maybe it's my memory, I don't know. I just feel like we have a really tough time developing outfield prospects. I know we traded Kelenic, but, I mean, every prospect that comes up, there's like a logjam because we already have guys at that position, whether it's Beatty, Vientos, Mauricio. I mean, and we had the two guys that we traded. I can't think of the names right now, but the two guys we traded for Lindor. I mean, when is the last time we had a really good Nimmo is a good prospect.
Nimmo would be the guy. And Conforto was supposed to be another one. And by the way, he's having a nice year with the Giants, which I'm not surprised at. Conforto was supposed to be the guy. Nimmo has been the guy, and Kelenic was another one. So, I mean, you're looking at that regime that drafted these guys. It wasn't just all, you know, all these infielders and guys like that, you know, middle infielders.
And it's all about hype, though, that these players come up with, like, Millage and Escobar and all these guys that never pan out. I think they need to start taking a look at that, too. I mean, yeah, we developed really good infielders, and I think the outfield, you know, prospect team needs to get on the ball.
Remember, James, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate the kind words. Remember, the Steve Cohen era is one that is going to rebuild this organization from the ground up. Not just at the major league level. We focus on what goes on at the major league level. And I know there are plenty of people nowadays who focus on what goes on in the minors as well. I have never been one of those people, but I know how important it is now, especially growing up. Like, that didn't even mean anything as a kid. You know, what do I care about the minor league team? I care about what's going on here. But you understand the importance of it now, where it's not just go out there and buy the best player. You want to go out there and draft and develop the best players. And that's what the Mets are putting money into, the lower levels of the minor league system. Billy Epler is making that a focal point to not only help hire people to put them in places to coach these players up, to develop them, but also being hands-on, going to all the different minor league sites and seeing firsthand how things are working at the lower levels of the organization, because ultimately, if those levels are clicking, then you're going to have more successful at the big league level. Which brings us back to the point about you talking about developing outfielders, drafting and developing some outfielders. I think it's just been a coincidence that it hasn't worked out, or it's not, you know, they don't have the prominent outfield prospect right now to match what they had in the infield. But they do have Nimmo. They did have Conforto. And obviously Kelenic would have been one of those guys. So it's not like they haven't been able to find or draft or develop outfielders. They've just... One moved on because it didn't work here ultimately, but he's still a good player in Conforto, at least a decent player. One's still here in Nimmo, locked up long term, and the other they foolishly traded away.
The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. Bring that big bet energy this summer with Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is the most trusted name in sports betting. And right now, use promo code JerseyFan to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, they will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code JerseyFan. Simply visit superbook.com for terms and conditions, or download the Superbook New Jersey app in the App Store. Enter the promo code JerseyFan and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 877-337-6666. Been talking about the Yankees and their loss to the Orioles. They lose 2 out of 3. Crushing way to end that series after having the 5-1 lead on Wednesday night in the seventh inning and blowing that game and then following up with a dud offensively. So the Yankees go down, losing 2 of 3. The Mets get a big win. You know, we didn't mention, and we should have, Carlos, we mentioned 10-1, they get the win with the 10 runs, obviously, offensively, but Carlos Carrasco was actually good for the Mets. How about that? Carrasco goes 6 2/3. Whoa! I didn't think he had it in him. And I liked Carrasco when the Mets made that trade, but he has been very disappointing. He had a nice stretch last year for a month or so, but he has been very disappointing overall since coming to the Mets. This was a good sign. This was a very good start for him, especially after a shaky start, giving up the home run early. Mets get him to a 1-0 lead, and then he gives it right back. But Carrasco was able to settle down, go 6 2/3, allowing that one run, the home run in the first inning. And maybe now you can start to see a way where this rotation finally becomes stable with Scherzer, with Verlander, with Carrasco in there, with Tylor Megill and Kodai Senga in no particular order. But they have the potential to at least stabilize for a little while. You hope. One could only hope. Anyway, we're talking plenty of Yankees, plenty of Mets, whatever else is on your mind on this now Friday morning on The Fan. 877-337-6666. John is calling from Port Jeff Station. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. Nice to talk to you again on the overnight.
Thank you. How are you, John?
Good. Question. You know, I'm seeing these Yankee games are pulling continuously, calling out the umps on balls and strikes. Do you think, this is probably his fourth or fifth one this year. Do you think after a certain point, Major League Baseball should address this with managers coming out and having this issue all the time and causing such a situation in the game?
With what, the Yankees specifically you're talking about?
Well, anybody who gets thrown at them, and not just the Yankees as far as calling balls, it's like, a manager getting thrown out so many times, do you think that at one time they just say enough is enough and they suspend somebody for that? Or how do you feel about that situation?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen here because Boone, now, I don't know if you saw it up close, John, but Boone got in the face of the home plate umpire. And it's very, right, yeah. What happened?
It's happened before. I've seen him do that before.
Right, no, it's fine. But I'm saying the umpire at one point said to Boone, you're spitting in my face. Now, it is very hard. Boone obviously didn't spit in the guy's face on purpose, but it is very hard to yell and scream and talk passionately without spitting. And when you get back, without some kind of spit flying from your mouth, when you get that close to an ump, it's naturally going to happen. I wonder, though, if because of the way that Boone lost it and did get in the ump's face and spit did fly and the umpire took exception to that, respectfully, but took exception to that, if Boone does get suspended. But, I don't know. You don't get suspended for getting ejected from a game unless you do something blatantly wrong, which Boone has not necessarily done.
Yeah, it just seems like it's continuous. I mean, can sometimes you just let the game go? I mean, the balls or strikes are going to be called. Is it that Regis of time that it's going to happen? But, these guys, if they're not hitting, it's not because of that. It's the other way around for us when we get balls or strikes. It goes both ways, but it just seems it's getting out of control. Like 4 or 5 times getting thrown out, and it seems there's not even a third over almost.
Well, it's actually a good point, John, and thank you for the call. Good to hear from you again. The thing is, you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes. It's an automatic ejection. So Boone knows this, and I didn't think he did anything egregious last night to get tossed in the moment, but the ump basically was letting him know, hey, you can't do this, and Boone was again letting him know, you keep missing these calls here, clean it the bleep up, probably, I'm paraphrasing, and that's when the ump was like, forget it, you're tossed. You're not allowed to argue balls and strikes. Aaron Boone knows that. He felt it was worth it again to get tossed. It is a continual thing with him. But, and maybe there's going to be something in baseball where they put a rule on, hey, if you get ejected 5 times, every 5 times you get ejected, you're going to serve a suspension. Like I said, I don't know about the accidental spit flying, if that's going to be an issue or not, but I like the fact that managers can still argue. I don't want it to be to a point where there's replay in sports, then there's going to be robo-umps, and there's nobody to fight with. There's nobody to yell at. Managers getting ejected from the game is one of the more entertaining things. Now, it's happened with Boone a little often, a little too often, even for his liking. So I get why he's saying it, but I don't think that there's going to be a suspension. Ethan is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, Ethan. How are you?
Good, good. So I just want to add on to the Boone discussion. It's getting to the point with these ejections now that I'm a fan of, you know, sticking up for your players when balls and strikes aren't getting called your way. But getting in the ump's face like that, especially after he walked away and then he walked up to him a second time, I just thought it was a little excessive. And that's just one of the things that bothered me most about Boone. Another thing that I have against Boone is just that, like, the fact that IKF had the game of his life, second game of the series that I was at, and then for some weird reason, not only is he not in the lineup tonight, but then you batting Willie Calhoun fifth, which I don't get at all. And then I just think that Judge should not be batting second. I think he should be more so third. I don't know. It's just his lineup construction. I get it. Like the injuries, he's, you know, the roster deficiencies are the Cashman, but it's just getting to the point now. It's like even earlier in the season, when we saw Franchy Cordero on that hot streak, he was getting pinch hit for IKF when he wasn't hitting. So I just don't think he has a feel for the game that managers need in this day and age. So
I'll disagree. I'm going to disagree with the lineup as far as Judge hitting third or Willie Calhoun hitting fifth, but I think you make an excellent point, Ethan, on IKF. The fact, and that's exactly what I'm talking about before, we're not having a feel. It was already predetermined, regardless of what IKF did on Wednesday night in Game 2 of this series, he wasn't going to be in the lineup in Game 3 of this series. And instead of Boone seeing him perform, saying, hey, you know what, let's get him back in there. There's no reason IKF shouldn't be in this lineup tonight. There's plenty of... Oswaldo Cabrera didn't have to get in the lineup. IKF could have played third.
Even with the pitchers, like in the second game of the series, there's no way Nestor Cortes should be pitching to that lineup a third time, especially in his recent performances where you see that after the fourth or fifth inning, he just runs out of gas, and then you leave Jimmy Cordero in there, and I don't care who you are. As a manager, your team giving up 8 runs in one inning is inexcusable, and there comes a point where you have to change something if it's not working, especially against the potent lineup that the Orioles have. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Jimmy Cordero just gave up the game. The series should have been won last night, and now we lost the series, and now we're losing ground in the standings.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agreed, and it can't happen, and look, not that the Yankees aren't going to be able to catch the Orioles, but and thank you for the call, Ethan. It can't happen to where you have a 5-1 lead in the seventh inning, and you blow that game, and then because of that, you end up losing 2 out of 3, and now, for the first time in a while, the Yankees go backwards in the standings, where they were closing ground and leapfrogging teams. And in this series, head-to-head with Baltimore, you wanted to at least take 2 out of 3 and gain a game, keep that momentum going. And they were not able to do that. The Orioles sent them backwards. You give credit to Baltimore. They're a really good team. But it just shows you what kind of battle it's going to be with the Yankees all year long in the American League East, and maybe not with the teams that we initially thought. You know, thinking it's going to be the Rays and the Blue Jays, and instead it might be the Orioles and the Rays. The O's are good. They're legit. We'll continue with your calls on the other side, 877-337-6666. I also want to get into something that we didn't touch on yesterday with Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron Rodgers did an interview with our old friend Adam Schein and had some... Rodgers had some things to say that sports fans could only dream athletes would say. He gets it.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Salicata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going to talk to my buddy Jackson Heil. You may remember him. We had him on during the college basketball season during March Madness. He previewed the NCAA bracket with us. Jackson is a huge Orioles fan. And for some reason, decided to, well, I guess for some reason, he's an Orioles fan, so he wanted to go to the Bronx and watch his team play. But for some reason, decided to sit in the bleachers in right field. And he was getting harassed, and he had stuff thrown at him to a point where, this was on, not last night, but the night before on the 5-1 comeback game, where he was having stuff thrown at him, and he had to get security came and removed him. They didn't kick him out because he wasn't doing anything wrong, but they removed him for his own safety. What's wrong with you fans out there harassing Action Jackson like that just because he's wearing an Orioles jersey? Big deal. He's there to support his team. I don't care if you want to boo him and chant at him, which they did. He tweeted out some of the videos, which is pretty funny. But you don't throw stuff at anybody. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. Anyway, I want to get Jackson's thoughts on it. Figured we'd have some fun with him coming up in a little bit. 877-337-6666. Linda is calling from Forest Hills. Linda, how are you feeling about your guy Vogie these days?
Sal, I got a perfect job for him. He could be one of the sausages in Milwaukee.
I don't even know if he can handle that. He can't run. Yeah, to do that, you have to kind of run, don't you?
True that. You know it's bad when you're longing for somebody like Bartolo Colon to be in the lineup instead of Daniel Vogelback.
Bartolo, I think, just turned 50, if I'm not mistaken. Happy birthday.
Indeed. Second of all, happy anniversary to you and your wife upcoming.
Thank you. We appreciate that. I can't believe it's been 6 years. Wait, has it been 6 years? Yeah, 17 to 18, 18 to 19, 20, 21. 22. Yeah, 6 years. Wow.
Awesome. And hug that little girl for me. But as far as Vientos is concerned, if they're not going to play him, send him down.
I can't argue with you there, Linda. If he's not going to play every day, set him down.
And, you know, you talk about trade chips. How can you make someone a trade chip if you don't play him to see what he's got and what you can possibly get in return based on what his talent level is, you know? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Vientos is a weird one. I thought for sure that he would be up here. I said it on the air. At the time, I thought for sure Vientos would be up here once Darren Ruff was officially DFA'd. He fills exactly the same role. He may not be able to play an outfield spot, but he could back up first base, and he could also play third, what Ruff didn't. But he could have backed up Alonso at first base and was a right-handed bat to DH or be off the bench, but specifically be the right-handed DH, and he wasn't to start the year. So that was very telling. And then he goes out there and has a terrific start to his minor league season to a point where the Mets had no choice but to call him up. But while he's here, you got to play him.
Exactly. And this was my problem. Again, I keep harkening back to Billy Epler. This is the problem that I have with him, is that now you've put the team in a situation such that you know the fans are relying on the kids to pick up the offensive slack, and it's not fair to them. Sure, we want to see them play, we want to see them do well, but this lineup is so disjointed that all the offensive pressure is now on the kids, and them having to come through, it just doesn't bode well long term for a team with World Series aspirations.
No, it doesn't right now, but the good thing is, Linda, and thank you for the call and for the kind words. We appreciate it, as always. It does give you hope that by the end of the year, or as we progress along this year, Beatty and Alvarez could become impact, at the very least, offensive players. I was going to say impact players, but you know, Beatty's defense been a little shaky. Alvarez has gotten better in all areas as he's gotten more playing time and as the season has gone on here. So you could have those guys. It's not like they're going to be relying on Vientos or Mauricio, who people still talk about, or even Vogelback. The Mets aren't dumb. You can't think that they're going to have these guys continue to go out there every single day. They got to go out and get somebody else. If the young guys aren't going to do it, or they're not going to give them an opportunity to do it in Vientos' case, and then they're going to have to go out there and get a real DH because they don't have one right now. They're going to have to figure out left field. What is the best option for left field? Is it get a second baseman and move McNeil to the outfield? Is it keep McNeil at second and get a left fielder? But those are two spots they're going to have to figure out. They figured out catching. It's going to be Francisco Alvarez and Narvaez when he comes back. You know, first base is set. You know, shortstop is set. And third base is set with Brett Beatty, Marte in right, Nimmo in center. So it's just a matter of figuring out where you want to play McNeil at either second or left field. And whichever one you, I guess the idea would be whichever one you could get, either a second baseman or a left fielder, you go get. Then you move McNeil in, you know, corresponding with that. And then you also go get a DH. That's it. Trim the fat. Canna, Pham, Vogelback, these guys got to go. Escobar's fine off the bench as a backup. I'm okay with that. You know, veteran guy, switch hitter, can hit with pop, can pinch hit. I have no problem with that. But we're talking about the starting lineup. Back to the Yankees. Dan is in Colorado. Dan, what do you want to say about the Yanks?
Hey, Sal, you know, you know how much I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
And you're great. You never told me where you got those sunglasses from.
No, I told you where I got them from. I never told you what the name brand is.
Yeah, from your father-in-law. But okay, you never gave me the brand.
I don't know the brand. I told you I bought them down in
All right.
I bought them down in where the hell was I? In Fort Lauderdale. My uncle bought them for me, but I don't know the brand of it. I remember you saying it. But right. I don't right. even, here's like, there's no, like, tag on it or anything. I mean, maybe I could look for a name on it or something. I don't know, but.
All right, let me get to my point.
Yeah.
So all my, you know, I live in Colorado, but I have a lot, you know, I grew up in Queens. I have a lot of boys that work at UPS in Long Island City. And they told me, they're like, Dan, you're the only one that can talk to Sal about this because I love you. And. I never took it against you when you predicted the Mets were going to win last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved it. I loved your passion because that's the way I am. But then with the Rangers and the Islanders, like all this UPS crew, they're all like, oh, my God, you mushed both of them. And then I will tell you that at the beginning of this week, when I was listening to you sweet talk the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
I was like, is this Sal? This is not the Sal that I love. And now, you know, they lost 2 or 3 to the Orioles. Like, it is kind of funny. There is a pattern when you get.
No. You can, I think, like anything else, you can make what you want. Like, if you go to see a, what do you call one of those people? The fortune tellers or whatever, you know, the
Great Karnak.
Yeah, right. Well, whatever. You go to see them, like, you could be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they knew this and that, because you're making what you want of it. Like you just did with the Yankees. I've been talking the Yankees up since they lost the series, coming off of a loss. Since they lost the series to the Rays, I said the Yankees were the best team in baseball. Since then, their odds to win the World Series and win the American League East have gotten better. Since then, they swept the A's. They split the series with the Rays. They took 3 out of 4 against the Blue Jays. So this is the first little bump in the road since I said that. So you're conveniently using this series as an example for me mushing the Yankees. But I said it 2 weeks ago, and they did anything but get mushed. Also, with the Rangers, I could say how you say that. Why the Islanders? I never said the Islanders are going to win anything.
I think the Islander fans were like, but when you wore the jersey and you went with your nephew,
which yeah.
is so awesome, which is such a great thing to do. So I don't mean to say like there, but it is kind of funny. It's just that you are seen right now as a great voice of New York sports by far. When you're on earlier, like you're just great. The fans love you, but they are worried when you get too.
I'm not. You think I'm right? No, I know. You think I'm a mush? I get it, Dan. And thank you for the call. I'm not a mush. I mean, I might be, but realistically, I'm not a mush. I'm not jinxing your crappy teams, whatever team they may be. I tried to mush the Braves last year. That didn't work. I bet on them almost every damn game down the stretch, and I won money because of it. I wanted to lose money, and rather the Mets win the division. You realize that these things aren't real, right? And like I said, you can look, if I'm on the air 3 hours, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, there are going to be things, a lot of things that you can use against me as far as say, well, you said this, this team was good, and look what happened, you jinxed it. Like, it's not that. I just gave you the example of the Yankees. I said the Yankees, off of a loss to the Rays, were the best team in baseball. And then they went out there and went on a good run that made a lot of people start to think, hey, you know what? This might be the best team in baseball. Or at least the American League is what I said. So what? They lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. And will you stop it with that stuff? And I didn't jinx the Mets either. They did win 101 games and they did tie for the division. You don't blame me for the Mets losing that division. Come on now. It's fun for you and convenient for you to be like, oh, Licata's a jinx. He's a mush. Any team he roots for loses. Yeah. Tell me the team that you root for that wins. Of course I've rooted for a bunch of losers in my life. Although I did root for the Rangers in 94 and see them win the Stanley Cup. You know, I was a young kid in 86 with the Mets, but where's your team that's currently winning? The Yankees haven't won since 2009. Jets, Giants, Knicks, I mean, you name it. Islanders, but blame me. Right.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.